which if you follow along in your workbook that you have, it's on the blue pages. There's a lot of different features. There's a lot of different features listed, and there's 8 pages, and I want to try and go through them in about a half an hour, and then still give you time to ask any questions. So as we're going along, if at any time you have specific questions, don't hesitate to ask me, but we won't go over each specific item, okay? The other thing is that I chose at random 2 systems to help illustrate the different features or items that are for your consideration, but they are in no way suggestions or standards for the industry. Okay? For you, I don't want you to base any of your decisions on the systems that I particularly chose. So with that in mind, when you're looking at your microcomputer, the first thing that you'll hear from the vendor is what kind of processor it has. And the 2 systems that we're working with today are the Archives Business System and the Onyx C8002. The Archives system has a Z80A processor, and the Onyx has a Z8002 and a Z80A processor for an input and output control. It's called a DPU, or a dual processing unit. Z80A, the Z just stands for the manufacturer that makes that particular processor. It's by Xilinx. The word size and path size are 2 other items that will be controlled by the type of processor that you will come with your microcomputer. And we have most common the 8-bit and 16-bit. The word size, that's the number of ones and zeros that are going to be packed in. And this would be for an 8-bit. 16 bits, double the size. That issue here is your internal register and the amount of addressability. The data path size is usually exactly the same. And that is the amount of data that can be transferred at one time. In the archive system, it's 8 bits. Onyx system is 16 bits. Now let me give you a more at home, perhaps to bring that at home for you. If you have a telephone wire and there's one wire, then you can only transfer 1 bit at a time, so everything would have to go sequentially. Okay, if you have more wires, then more can transfer at the same time. On the slide this morning, we showed you a chip, and then there was connectors between the chips. Well, the data flows through those connectors, and that's the data path, and that's the why of the data path, because that's why the data itself can be transmitted. Okay, so in the 8-bit processor, it's 8 tracks, or 8 lines wide. The 16-bit processor, your connections between your memory and your CPU are 16. The primary memory is the next bit of information that your vendor will be sure to tell you, or any kind of brochure that you'll be reading. And the first is RAM, or random access memory. And the 8-bit systems has 64K, the archives is 64K, and the Onyx has 256K, 256,000 bytes of memory, expandable up to 1,000 or 1,024,000 bytes of memory. The ROM is that memory, read-only memory, that is already electronically engraved into your system. It's engraved on the chip that cannot be changed, okay? And the Archives has 2K, the Onyx has 4K. That usually contains your, or it does contain your boot operating system, that which brings your system up to operate, and then sometimes some of your software packages that you use will require ROM space. Software features. Maximum number of terminals is an important consideration, something that you need to find out when you're looking at your microcomputer, is how many terminals you can add on, or do you need to be able to add on. The Archives is maximum number is 1, and the Onyx can go up to 8. So you can start with 1, and as your business grows, you can also increase your number of terminals. The basic price on the archive system, as you know, is $5,500, and the Onyx is $18,500. And I purposely chose the systems to illustrate the difference in prices. And let's come back up to D and see what that basic price includes. It is a false assumption to assume that your microprocessor automatically comes with your operating system. It may, but it may not. And such is the case with the Onyx. It does not come with the operating system. In fact, it does not come with the monitor either. Or a text editor, whereas the archive system does come with a monitor, it does come with a text editor, and it does come with your operating system. Now, if all of those features meet your needs, maybe the cheaper system is what you want. The second aspect to your microprocessor or your microcomputer is your add-on memory. That is a capability, first of all, to add on primary memory. Is your system expandable? And the Onyx, as we already said, you can expand up to 1,024K of memory, but you also notice that that's at 256K chuck, so you could add on 256,000 bytes of memory at a given time, but also at the cost of $3,000. So RAM is relatively expensive. Common is your floppy disk. 5 1/4 inch is likely to be most common on your microcomputers. You see some 8 inch. Some also have 8 inch or hard disk possibilities, such as the Onyx. The Archives comes with the 5 1/4 inch floppy, and its capacity is 386K or 750K, depending on the configuration of that operating system. And the drive. The Onyx system has between 10 and 40 meg or million bytes of memory, and that's on a hard disk. Now, jump down to the price category, and you notice the difference in the cost of that drive is between $5,500 and $8,500, depending on how much storage space you want available. And on the archive system, it's included. The archive system comes with two drives. The Onyx system comes with one drive. The total capacity of the system is proportional to what you're getting. Okay, one drive, two drives, floppy disk or hard disk. The other consideration there is how quickly can you have access to the information. And we have two measurements. One is access time and one is data transfer rate. The faster the access time, the faster you're going to have your data. And the transfer rate, the faster the transfer rate is, the faster your overall system is going to move. The comparison between the two systems is quite large. The Onyx system is quite a bit faster than the Archives. But you're still talking about small amounts of time, milliseconds, thousands of seconds. So, when you're looking at it, it's a 643, but keep in mind that that's milliseconds, and it's still extremely fast. The next aspect to consider when you're purchasing a microcomputer is the peripherals. The peripherals may or may not be included in the base price of your microcomputer. What constitutes peripherals, there's three main ones: your keyboard, your display, and your printer. Your keyboard and your display combined are what we would refer to as a terminal. That may or may not be included in your base price. If it's not included in your base price, then when you're looking at your overall system costs, you will have to add that on to your system. The keyboard features available, tactile, that means that when you push the button descends like a typewriter, as opposed to having a flat keyboard that's sensitized by touch, similar to a microwave oven where you touch the buttons and everything works. If the keyboard is movable, that is, the keyboard is attached to the computer through terms of a coil that will let the keyboard be moved some distance away. Some keyboards are attached. And when you're getting into the peripheral types of decisions of your microcomputers, I strongly encourage having your data entry people involved, because what's comfortable for them is going to increase the efficiency, and that's one of the main reasons for going to a microcomputer, is efficiency and speed, those type of decisions. So it's important that your data entry people have some input. A numeric keypad is important, especially if you have lots of arithmetic type of input. If you have insurance rates, say, or billing, or check payments every day. If you had a lot of that type, it's a tip key off to the side. That is much faster often than using the type line of your keyboard. ASCII character set is just a standard character set by the industry. And for the most part, all microcomputers use ASCII characters. The difference between microcomputers might be in the number of keys. They may or may not have the total set of ASCII characters. But once you've looked at the keyboard and sit down and work with it some, and you determine that all the keys that you need for your uses are there, then it is adequate, and that's what will meet your needs. If, for example, that you're doing a lot of word processing, perhaps you need more keys than if you're doing mostly EDP type of processing. For example, in word processing, you may only want to have to hit one key. If to do that type of function on your keyboard without the special keys, you may have to have two or three keystrokes, and that would cut into your efficiency and speed. You notice the difference between the two systems in the number of keys. The R-Class has 104 keys, and the Onyx has 85 keys. The number of function keys is another attribute. One is the R-Class is 23 and the Onyx is 19. The function keys is the a key that you can program on your computer so that when you hit that particular key, it will perform a function or operation that you will not have to type out or do two or three keystrokes. Second consideration in peripherals is the monitor. And again, I stress that the people that are doing your data entry that are going to be working with your system have a chance to work with the monitor and sit down and spend some time with it. See that it's easy to read, that the screen is feels comfortable to them. Screens come in different positions. If you have to sit like this for 8 hours a day, it may be a real strain. That's something to keep in mind when you're looking at my computer. They come in varied colors. Screen sizes, standard screen sizes is 12 inch. They vary from 10 to 14 inches. The characters per screen is, the standard is 80 by 24. If you need a larger screen, they are possible. That is approximately one third to one half a page of text. If that gives you an idea of what you can get on that size of a screen. Yes, sir?
Can you comment on the gold and the green and the monochrome a little bit?
Okay, the question is about the color of the screen. There's several colors right now available. Probably the most common on the microcomputers is black on white or white on black that you can change back and forth. We're seeing some green phosphor and some amber phosphor screens. And there's a lot of argument, pro and con, as to what's easiest on the eye and whatnot. And the general feeling is that it's personal preference.
Is that right?
Now, I would recommend that you spend half an hour and look at the screens. My personal feeling is it is personal preference. And I worked on a lot of different screens. However, I've read a lot of articles, and they tend to say that green phosphor is easier because it's a less of a contrast than the black and white. A feature that myself personally that I like is being able to change from black on white to white on black or something. Just the change seems to be more restful to my eyes than having something constantly. That really is personal preference. But spend some time at your vendor and playing with your system, looking at the screen, seeing that it feels comfortable to you. The character matrix size is how the system is going to form the character on your screen. And generally speaking, the finer the matrix, the finer your character shape will be on your screen, the easier it will be to read. And you should be able to look at your screen and see how the characters are formed and see if that is acceptable for you. Character width, that's just the option that you have of being able to change things on your screen, such as going from white on black to black on white. That would be normal and inverse. Underlining on your screen. Flashing, being able to have parts of your text or your cursor flashing so you always knew where it was on your screen as opposed to having it just a square on your screen or something of that sort. Dimming is it's just like your TV control, making it bright or dimming the contrast on the screen and color, green, black, white. The third consideration of peripherals in the peripherals category is your printer. And as we talked about this morning, there's two basic kinds of printers, impact and non-impact. Of your impact printers, we have letter quality and draft quality. Your letter quality will imprint a shaped character on your paper, and draft quality uses a matrix, usually with wires or bristles, and will put your character on paper with dots. Again, the finer your matrix, the finer your character is going to be shaped, and the better resolution you have.
Getting back to that character mode, aren't there some additional highlighting, you know, brightness on some of the characters and a background also?
Yes, and that will depend on the complexity of your monitor. As you add more features, you're going to go to a more expensive monitor. But sure, you can. Some monitors will let you work in color.
Well, this was just a green screen, but it had certain lines were highlighted. And
right.
Very bright. It's very, very readable.
You can highlight. Sometimes all that is a feature of your software package.
This case here was the
with the monitor. Okay, you can highlight, and also sometimes you can make parts lighter. So the rest, would be an inverse effect. But yes, as you realize though, as you add on more features, you also add up your price. Printer on the for the archives. The archives offer three different kinds of printers for their system, and the one we chose is the Diablo 630. And the Onyx did not offer any manufactured printer. That meant that you would have to go out and get a printer from some other manufacturer, and then of course add that on to the basic price of your system. Now the Diablo, according to the documentation that I had, was a wire matrix. In the last session said that wasn't true, that it's a letter quality. So I will address this with the wire matrix thought in mind. Okay. Are there any questions then with regards to the types of printers? May be important to you. If you're having a lot of your material going outside of your business, then you may need letter quality. And the printer with the archives is of letter quality, and the paper size that it can handle is from 9 to 15 inches. The characters per line is 132. A lot of printers, the maximum number of characters per line is 80. And that's determined on the size of the platen of your printer. Printer that can handle a wider size paper is going to be more expensive. But if you have reports that would be accounting reports, say for example, you may need that wide capability. The speed will be in direct proportion again to the price of your printer. and also the kind of printer. Generally speaking, your dot matrix printers average between 80 and 120 characters. That's a fairly common speed, and then, of course, on up. Whereas your letter quality printers will be comparatively slower and also more expensive. The Archives printer, the Diablo, prints 45 characters per second. Paper feed is that means by which we get the paper through the printer. And surprisingly enough, we have several different options to us. The first would be friction, which is just like a normal typewriter where it's fed through the platen through the means of a pressure type bar. And then we have pin attractor. Pin feed is where the platen itself has the pins at the end of the platen, which limits the length or the width of the paper that you can work with. Tractor is where the pins on the right side are adjustable, so you can adjust to the size of your printout. Now, it is incorrect to assume that your printer automatically comes with tractor feed. A lot of printers, if you want tractor feed, you pay an additional for that. It's considered an option. A cut sheet feeder could be very important if you want everything coming out on your letterhead. And you don't want to have to stand and feed your individual sheets in by yourself. A cut sheet feeder is a mechanism that will attach to your printer, and then you'll also have a bin on the other side that will collect your printed copy. It is also expensive. Another option to that is to have your letterhead or other type of printed paper or forms taken to the computer people, and they will back them with computer paper and attach them, and then it can be fed through on your pin or tractor feed. Or in fact, you can do almost anything you want to do with computer paper. And it's relatively inexpensive. And you could have your letterhead printed on computer paper, on any color of paper you wanted, on any size paper you wanted, on any kind of quality paper that you wanted. Depending on how many boxes you ordered would, of course, be respective of your price, but it is relatively inexpensive. Your paper options, then, is something that we've kind of already considered. Fairfold is, again, your computer paper where everything is attached by a perforated line. And the better your paper is, the better that the finer the perforation will be, so it's not going to show when you tear. The single sheet is your single sheet fed through the printer one at a time. The price of this printer is $2,250, which is relatively high for a matrix printer, keeping in mind that this is a matrix printer, but it's slow and it's a letter quality, and so the price is proportional. $2,000 to $3,000 is the common price for a upper-end printer that's printing at a fairly fast speed. The next consideration that you want to look at when buying a microcomputer is going to be your system software. The operating system, as we already said, may or may not come with your microcomputer, but it's definitely going to be a factor in what you're going to be able to do with your microcomputer. And if you get your microcomputer and you don't have an operating system, you don't have anything. You have an inert box. The different types of operating systems that are on the market, the Archives is using the CPM standard system, whereas the Onyx system is using Unix. And it will limit the software that you can use. A software package that is written for CPM is not going to be able to run under the Unix operating system. So it's important that you give consideration to what kind of software that you want to have available to you. What do you want to be able to do? Identify your problems and how you're going to solve them before you get your hardware. If you have your hardware first and then try to fit your software to it, you may find out that there's not any software to meet what you want to be able to do. Other considerations, all of those listed there are basically not important unless you're going to be doing your own programming. The support software is the software applications. What do you want to be able to do with your system? And most microcomputers will come, first of all, with some form of BASIC. And the first category here is the languages. Basic is probably the is definitely the most common language on our microcomputers, but you also can get a lot of different other programming languages, such as Fortran, Pascal, COBOL, and considerable other ones. A lot of them come in interpreter or compiler type languages. Interpreter will be a little bit slower, but if you're doing your own programming, it may be a little more friendly. The compiler is more powerful and faster, but again, the programming may be, it becomes more involved. The other part of support software would be the packages that you can run under your operating system. You want to be able to run general ledger, accounts receivable, accounts payable, mailing lists, inventory, word processing. And what their limitations or hardware requirements are. Some software packages require specific types of operating systems. All software packages are going to require a certain amount of memory. If your hardware system does not have the amount of memory needed to run that software package, then you have no choice. You can't run that software package. There's also a lot of other software packages available, and becoming more so. Anybody that's in a business that probably has more than 100 people in the country in that business is going to find some shape or form of a software package that's going to be addressed to their business. We see veterinary packages, medical packages, dental packages, legal packages, and they're continuing to be being developed and, of course, upgraded so that competition is going to give you, hopefully, the best product. The next category is miscellaneous considerations, such as graphics. It's one real becoming popular item. If you want to be able to produce charts, graphs, diagrams, pictures, you may want to have graphics capability. Depending on your system, it'll depend on how good of graphics, how high quality of graphics you're going to be able to make. And the archives has a matrix type graphics capability of a relatively high resolution, has 240 by 100 pixels or dots on the system that you're going to be able to fill in, okay, and create your picture or your graph or your circle graph or whatever you want. It's important to consider that if you would like these types of capabilities prior to buying your system, because you'll find that after you've bought your system and you want to do graphics, that your particular system may not be capable of having that expansion or capability. Another possibility that you may want to consider is database. And database is becoming something more popular. It's an effort to reduce redundancy in your files. And in fact, we have a separate workshop on that, so I strongly encourage, if you're interested at all in database or what it really involves, to go to the workshop. The Onyx system has it available. In fact, they have two systems, DBase 2 and TIM, or I'm sorry, the archive system. The Onyx system says it's available. There's all kinds of database systems out right now. You would just have to find one that would operate under the Unix operating system. And, of course, it would be extra. The archives is extra also for the price of between $660 to $750. You also notice that it has some hardware requirements. To have the database system, you have to have two disk drives, and you have to have 64K memory. If you had anything less than that, this would not be an option for your particular hardware configuration. And the last consideration is acquisition operations. How am I going to pay for my microcomputer? The ready option is virtually unknown in the microcomputers. I suspect because for the most part, the base price is relatively low. And you're not seeing ready options. Neither of these systems have ready. Although the archives does have a lease option for 3 to 5 years, which is the normal amortization schedule for a microcomputer system. The Onyx says no to that also, but they are interested in giving you a discount, to considerable discount, 10 to 40%, whereas the Archives is not willing to deal, but you can buy out. That brings us to the end of our worksheet. Does anyone have any specific questions with regards to anything that we covered on the worksheet, or that you would just like to ask in general? Otherwise, also keep, remember that we have vendors downstairs, and we encourage you to go down and look at their wares and talk to them.